Boy, y'all gonna be really disappointed. Great singing. Well, I appreciate that. And if you couldn't preach after that, something's wrong with you. Today, we're going to take up where we was last week. I don't do this much. Those of y'all that's been members of our church know that I don't preach many series, but God laid it on my heart, a series, a focus on the family. I said last week, I feel that family is a place that the church is failing. I feel it's a place our society is failing, our nation's failing. It's in our families. That's where it all lies. If you know much about the scriptures, you know that God instituted the family before he did the church. It's very important. We have roles in the family that we are to take. And last week, we got on Father pretty hard. We got on him pretty bad. And today, mothers, it's your turn. I'm going to try to be sweet. But I used to go to Concord Baptist Church, and some of y'all that's around this area, y'all may have known Brother Jack Marks. Anybody know Brother Jack Marks from around that area? And then he was over in Carrollton for a while, and Clay County, he's been all around. But he used to say something every time he'd preach. He'd say, you preach at gun barrel straight, heaven high, and torment deep. And when you do that, a lot of people don't like it. But we're going to preach, and if you have a problem this morning with us, you have to take it up with God. He wrote it. I didn't. It's just my job to tell you what I believe that the Bible says, and if I ever get away from that, you run me off, or run anybody off, gets away from the Word of God. But this morning, mothers, I want to give you a little disclaimer. You have been placed in roles today that was never intended for you. This all began sometime back in history. I'm not certain. I asked Pat a lot of questions, because she's older than anybody here, about when did women get thrown into the workplace in different places. And again, I'm not against women working. I'm not against anything, because if my wife didn't work, I'd probably be in a shack somewhere. But I do think that God intended things to be differently than what we have them today. And I believe I can show you that from the Word of God. And we're going to preach about three roles that God has for ladies today. We're going to preach about the three main roles, I believe, and I believe you can find this in Scripture, that God has for you. And again, I want to tell you that women are probably doing more today than they've ever done. Sadly to say, because of us lazy men and men in general, ladies has had to go to work. They've had to go to the workplace. Ladies has had to become leaders of the home. Ladies have become spiritual leaders in the home. Ladies have become all the raisers of children. They've had to become leaders in our churches. They've had to become everything that they was never intended to be. They was intended to be a helpmate for men, but because men got away from the Word of God, then women has had to step up. And ladies, I want to give you a little leeway this morning in saying you do a great job. You do a great job, but you have been placed places that you God never intended you to be. And men, it's going to come back to us as it always does, because the Bible teaches it's our responsibility as men to lead women. If you don't believe that this morning, you don't believe the Word of God. But listen, Proverbs chapter 31, I'm not going to ask you to stand. We've already stood a lot today. But Proverbs chapter 31, a lot of people get this messed up. They get this mixed up. This is a letter from King Lemuel about the prophecy that his mother taught him. This is what the king's mother taught him. This is what she taught him. She taught him some great things. And I want to read these verses this morning, and then we'll get into this. In Proverbs chapter number 31, verse 1, I said, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth, for the dumb and the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also up while is yet night, and giveth meat to their household, and a portion to their matings. At maidens, and considereth the field, and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all the household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well at the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, that he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedeth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Boy, that's some good advice, wasn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this woman we read about and for the advice the king's mother had given him. And God, we pray this morning that you help us show for just a little bit what your word says about the roles of a woman in today's time, about the roles of a godly woman and what we are to do. And God, us men, Lord, we know that we're the ones falling short. And Lord, we ask you to help us today. Help us see the error of our ways that we may turn back to you. And because we turn back to you, the church will turn back. And Lord, the whole communities, the whole nation of America will turn back to you. And Lord, in all this, we praise the name of Jesus. Amen. If you look, I want you to see the first thing I believe that a godly woman is called to be is a wife. Is a wife. I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. It says, whoso findeth a wife, find a good thing, obtaineth favor with the Lord. I want to tell you, I have a good wife this morning, and she's not here so I can brag on her. She's at work this morning, just as I was talking about. She's there this morning. She stays on call so many weeks out of the month or whatever. She has to do that for her job. But listen, God give me this woman. I could tell you the story of how it happened. I had no idea that I would ever be a preacher. I'm very shy. I don't like being in front of people. I never have. I don't like talking in front of people, but God knew that this is what I was to be. And if you know my wife, she is the one who can talk to a stop sign. She can talk to any stranger. She never meets a stranger. And through her, most of the time, my conversations are opened up. God blessed me with this woman. I had no idea who she was at the time. And then I become to know that her grandfather was a pastor and an evangelist over in Carroll County. And all around for years, a great man of God and a great uncles and a great family to support and what I do. And God knew exactly who to place me with. And the Bible says that whoso find a wife, find a good thing. Man, I want to tell you something today. If you have a good wife, you better praise the Lord. If you have a good wife, you need to thank God for her. You need to thank God that he saw fit to give you that woman. And women, listen, you've got a responsibility today to be a good wife. You may be mad at me when you leave. Again, you have to take this up with God. But it says, and I believe that the Bible is true in everything it says, and it says that who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, but I want to tell you something, men. It's truly up to you with how good she becomes. It's up to you with how good that woman becomes. As I married my wife, there's many directions we could have taken. But on June 27th, 1997, God saw fit to save me in the second pew of Concord Baptist Church. I don't know why he wanted something as nasty as me and as dirty as me and as wretched as me, but thank God he did. And with doing that, listen, I could have decided to not follow him and not follow him. I would have probably led her down the wrong path. But as I have been down this path of ministry, I want to tell you something. There's not a bigger fan I have than her. She lifts me up when I'm down, which is almost every week. She won't let me quit. When I want to give up, she holds me up, and she prays for me. She's got a bell that goes off on her phone that reminds her to pray for me every single day. And yes, I'm lifting her up this morning because I believe she's a great woman of God. And God placed her with me, and I believe she's a great wife. And ladies, I believe there's great women here, but listen, you're only as great as your husband is allowing you to be. If you read Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 22 through 33, listen what it says. I know we went through the scripture last week, but you have to go through this when you're looking at the family. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And men, this don't mean she is to be a slave to you. This means that if you are following Jesus in a way he has you to follow, this means she must submit, she must follow you, and she must do what it is that God bids her to do. This what this means. This doesn't mean cook all your meals and tote you ice cream and wash your car and do all these things. This means submit in a godly manner. In other words, she should follow you to the house of God. She should follow you in the things of God. She should support you in the things of God. And ladies, this is your responsibility to be submissive. It says, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth himself loveth his wife, love himself. For no man ever had hated his own flesh, but he nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. My friends, you've got a great responsibility to that woman. Let me tell you this story too. God just put it in my mind, so I'm going to tell it. We got married in 1996. December the 7th, 1996. Both of us was lost as a goose. She had been raised in church there with her granddaddy, Brother Spurgeon. And at 8 years old, she came down to the altar because that's what everybody did that day. And she thought she was saved. But as God saved me on that day in June, and as I began trying to follow the Lord, and she saw something. She saw something that the Lord put into me that wasn't in her. And because of that, she came to know the Lord in her car. By herself, she asked God to save her and to cleanse her from all of her sins. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that it was me that done anything great, but it was by me following God and doing what I believe God had called me to do, that God cleansed that woman and made her righteous unto himself. And my friend, today we have a great responsibility as men to lead those women. And women, if a man is leading you, I beg you to follow him. Do not follow him if he's not leading you to the Lord. But if he's leading you towards Jesus, I beg you to get behind him and support him and follow him and be what God has called you to be. Boy, that ain't popular in 2019, but that's Bible. You do what this Bible says. If he's trying to lead you, follow. And listen, something else. Boy, you're going to really be mad at me here. Don't be hard to live with. Y'all can laugh, man. It's okay. I was giggling in my office when I wrote this. Don't be hard to live with. Listen, there's even scripture to prove it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Amen? How many of y'all has ever lived with a brawling woman? You can raise your hand. Hey, it ain't fun, is it? Stephanie worked, boy, I'm going to be in bad trouble if she goes back and listens to this. She worked all day yesterday, and I went outside and I cut grass and I cleaned, put a light in the swimming pool. And if you've ever done that, you know you get closer to the Lord or further away from him one. But listen, I done all that and I was wore out. I thought I'd done good. She come home. I hadn't washed any clothes and she was mad. And she didn't talk to me all the way to the restaurant. And for several hours there, she didn't talk to me. And I thought about this verse. Boy, it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than a wide house with a brawling woman. That's jokingly, but it's serious. Be easy to live with. I'll tell you how serious it is. God's word is not very much for God's word. He gave us all we need. It's 66 books, and it's every instruction we need. But listen, God didn't need to take up space in his word. But he made two verses say the exact same thing. Proverbs 21:9 and also Proverbs 25:24. Both of those, you don't have to turn there because it says the exact same words. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a brawling woman in a wide house. God knew this. He knew that if a marriage was to be fruitful, if a man of God was to lead as he should, and if he did lead as he should, then the woman should get in there. She should follow and she should become easy to live with. What I'm saying is you don't have to put up with stuff. I don't believe God intends you to put up with something that's not godly. I don't think God intends women to be beat upon, to be verbally abused. I don't think any of this. And Nicole sitting back there with a black eye smiling. But listen, I don't think God intends these things to go on. But listen, what God does intend, and I'm going to say it again, if that man is leading you towards Jesus, I beg you, lady, to be easy to live with and follow him as he leads you towards God. Men, that's your job. Your number one job as a man, to be leading that family towards God. You can draw you a triangle, and you can put God at the top. You can put a wife and a man on the sides. And I challenge you,
I'm from Rammer, but I ain't real smart. But if you take both of those lines and you head towards God, the husband and wife come closer together. The closer you get to God, the more you strive to go towards God, the closer you will be. And man, I promise you something. If you will lead that woman to God, I bet you $1 million, and I ain't got $1 million to give you, and I wouldn't bet if I did. But listen, she will follow. She will follow. You see, God put something inside a woman to follow a godly man. It's there. Yeah, I don't care who you say. You say, preacher, you don't know my wife. You don't know what she is. No, I don't. But brother, if she has been saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in her, and God made that woman. He made that man. He made the family unit to be made up of a man and a woman and to have children. And after this, he made the man to lead in a godly manner, and he made the woman to follow. I challenge you to prove me wrong. You can't, because it's the Word of God. All men have a ministry. All men have a ministry. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. Well, you better thank God. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you better thank God. You say, I'm not this, but listen, all that shall to you are. You have a declaration from God to witness to lost souls. Every single man under the sound of my voice is to have a ministry. You may not to pastor New Harmony Baptist Church or any other church, but you have a ministry to lead lost souls to Jesus. And if you have this ministry and you're going forward, you must have a woman in place. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells it in several places. I didn't put the scripture down because I knew the guys aren't going to be mad at me. I had so much. But listen, in 1 Timothy, in all these places it tells about the qualifications of a man of God. You know what it says? After every single one, it says a woman. You must be likewise, women. It says you must be likewise. You must be subject to follow God. You must be good, you must be whole, and you must be a woman of integrity if your man's ministry is going to be. Listen, I've seen many good men who was way better preachers than me, way better preachers than other preachers, but their ministry never was successful because they didn't have a woman that would follow. You must have a good woman if you're going to be successful in your ministry. It's Bible. It's Bible. Men, if you've got that, you should thank God for her. Kids, if you've got that as a mother, you need to thank God for. Listen, let's move on. The next thing is a mother. Number one, I believe your most important role is a wife. Number two, I believe it's a mother. You go back to Proverbs chapter 31. King Lemuel's mother gave him some great, great advice. Some great advice. She told him, don't give thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to which destroyeth kings. He said, hey, don't go after strange women. You find you a woman that God has for you, and you follow her. That's what the king's mother was telling him. And then she said something else. She said, it's not for kings, Lemuel. It's not even for princes to drink strong drink. Stay away from wine. Stay away from liquor. Stay away from all that stuff. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from everything that can hinder your mind. If you want to be a man of God, you stay away from it. You get away from that stuff. Mothers, if you can give your children one advice today, it would be stay away from all that junk. You say, well, I don't believe there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit. Well, listen to me. If you never partake, you never worry about gotta be an alcoholic. If you never smoke one joint, you don't have to worry about being a dope head. If you don't do any of these things, the best thing that you can do is stay away from it and teach your children to stay away from it. Don't do it in front of them. Don't bring them around it. And give them some good advice, as the king's mother did. She said, don't take of it. Do away with it. If you drink, you'll forget the law, pervert judgment of any afflicted. Give that strong drink to them that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, forgive his poverty, remember his misery no more. Listen to this. Verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb, those that can't speak for themselves. Listen, he was telling the king to speak up to it. She was telling King Lemuel, you speak up when it's time to speak up. And mothers, that's what you should be teaching your children. When it's time to speak up for those that's not as fortunate as you are, that haven't been blessed the way you are, you stand up for those. You don't make fun of them. You stand up for them and you help them and do everything you can. And listen, open that mouth and judge righteously. Mothers, oh, don't we wish our children could get a hold of this. We live in a time when our children are bombarded with all this social media. And listen, one thing happens, they get on there, on this Snapchat and all this stuff, they put it out there to the whole world, and they be mean to one another. And listen, we all know this, it's very easy to be mean behind a screen, ain't it? It's when you face-to-face when things get real. And I know this was written thousands of years ago, but bless God, it still holds true. You uphold those who God lets you uphold. You help your friends. You be good to them. You fight for those who can't fight for themselves. And the only reason you open your mouth is for righteousness. Kids, you need to listen to your mothers. Mother, you need to give them godly advice. godly advice. She goes on and tells him to find a virtuous woman. Find a woman who is godly. Find a woman who is sold out to the Lord. Hey, the Bible tells us don't be unequally yoked. That's the problem we have in many of our churches. We have those that are saved. They're dated. They've got married to those who are not saved. And there is a continual battle that goes on. And he says to find somebody that's yoked as you are. Find another Christian and marry. Find somebody who got the same values you have. And listen, kids and women, this goes for you. Girls, it goes for you also. You find a virtuous man. You find you a man of God. And ladies, you find you a man that's going to lead you towards God. And mothers, you continually lead those children as King Lemuel's mother did. She told him all the things that woman would come to be. Of all, she would get up early and she would do things. And listen, as I started this morning, I told you that ladies have been placed in a role they never belonged. My grandmother did all these things. Some of you in here did all those things. But you know what happened? At some point, you had to go to work. Because we all wanted to keep up with the Joneses, we say. We wanted to keep up with one another. We got to have the newest car. We got to have the newest iPhone. We got to have the newest truck. We got to have all these fancy things we got to have. And the only way to be able to afford that is you can't do it on one income. So our parents, our mothers, had to go to work. And when our mothers went to work, I tell you, you can find this out. When that happened, you can go see the downside of America. Yes, it wasn't the prayer out of schools. That's hogwash. A prayer would never got out of school if it was in the house. 1962, that happened. But listen, the downside of America happened when women had to get out of the home place and go to work, and they wasn't there at the home as they're supposed to be, where God intended to be. You say, well, preacher, you old-fashioned? No, I'm not. I'm Bible. Amen. And this may be old-fashioned, but you got to live with it. Listen, this mother did all these things because she had time. You sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not a Proverbs 31 woman. I can't do all these things. You know why I can't do all these things? Because you've been placed in a role that you never belong. Yeah, it's impossible. You'd have to be up 24 hours a day and you still couldn't do all these things. But listen, ladies, let me tell you, just because you don't think you fit into Proverbs 31, may I tell you that you still to be a godly example. You may not get up early and do all these things that says this woman would do. You may not do all these things because you don't have the time. You don't have the energy. God knows what's possible of you. But let me tell you what you are. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. You know what you are to be? You may not can be everything in Proverbs 31, but bless God, you are to be an instiller of faith into your children. You know the reason many of you are here right now? Because your mother prayed for you. You heard your mama pray for you. She prayed and God answered that prayer. He began drawing you to himself, and you're here today, and you're what you are because some lady probably prayed for you. Listen, my grandmother prayed for me. Her name was Lorraine Morgan. I can remember her going into the house of God and sitting on that pew up there, and I can remember her praying for all of us grandchildren and praying for those. And listen, Stephanie's family did the same thing. That grandmother prayed for them. And mother prayed for them. Listen, church. Listen, ladies. You've got a call to be an instiller of faith in your children and in your grandchildren. Instill that faith. The Bible says it right there. When I see what you are, Timothy, I see where the faith come from. It was placed in you from your grandmother and your mother, Lois, of how you saw how they had the faith in an almighty God. Ladies, does your children see a faith in you? Do they see a faith in you that you want them to have? Do you live with a faith that you want your children to live with? If not, you need to make it that way. You need to make it that way. You need to be an instiller of the faith. Many great men, many great evangelists today, I challenge you, if you ask them, if Billy Graham hadn't passed away and you said, Billy Graham, why are you what you are today? He'd probably say, a godly mother prayed for me. A grandmother prayed for me. I heard Franklin Graham, or I saw him just today on Facebook, had posted a picture of him and his mother. And he said he remembered all the things of his mother, but what he remembered most was her prayers. She prayed for Franklin Graham. And mothers, you have prayed for your children. And if your children's in a house of God today, sitting beside you, and they know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, you know where that faith come from. Bless God, according to that word of God, it come from the mothers. It did for Timothy. It said it dwelt first in the grandmother. Boy, the Bible don't leave none of us out, does it? We've all got responsibilities. Grandmothers and mothers would be an instiller of faith, an instructor in life in general. King Lemuel's mother was great at that. Oh, I know it's hard to measure up. It's so hard to measure up in this time. But I want to give you a little bit of an out this morning, ladies. Your failures is not with you. You say, well, I've messed my life up. I've messed my children up because this. I've done all of this. I saw a thing one time that said, if you think you've earned God's plan for your life, take heart, you're not that strong. God's in control. And ladies, your failures lies within your situation, not within you. I know the hearts of most of you. And I knew when I preached that, ladies was going to leave feeling like they was inadequate to Proverbs 31. But again, the situation you've been placed in, you're only as good as a man who's leading you. You're only as good as the husband who's leading you. Boy, I tell you what, man, I have dealt with this already. And you know what I find in dealing with this? That I fall very short of being the man of God he's called me to be. Even as a preacher and as a pastor, I don't lead my wife in the way I should. And if you do that, praise God. But listen, if you don't, I pray that you have a desire to become the leader that you should be. And what does it matter? Your children matter. Your grandchildren matter. Your community matters. The whole nation of United States of America. And I'll stand on this. I still believe what's wrong with our nation is not Democrats. It's not Republicans. It lies within the church house. Men of God have gotten away from God and they found other gods and began worshiping them. And no longer do they care about the one true God of Israel. And now the house of God has become more of a house of entertainment. It's not a place where people care about God. They don't love God anymore. And bless God, most of them show up just to be seen. And I'm fired now. But we'll go on. There's food. It's where we've come to. Men have gotten away from God. You want me to prove it? Big majority of men is addicted to pornography. Majority of leaders in our churches saw a thing written by Tom Rainer. Out of the ones that would admit it, listen to this, out of the men that would admit it, some of them still liars, but the ones that would admit it, 7 out of 10, even in pastors, admitted to looking at some form of this in the last month. It's not just that. We've got those with other addictions. We've turned to other gods. We've turned to other gods. We've left the true God, the God of Israel. We've left Him. We need to get back. Ladies, the third thing, and I'm closed. I know you're hungry. We're to be a witness. You to be a wife, a mother, and a witness for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. The aged woman likewise, that be in behavior, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Ladies, you got a great responsibility in the church house. You got a responsibility in a community to be a godly woman. What does that mean? That means to walk according to the word of God. I don't get caught up in this dressing. I think you ought to dress appropriately. Y'all know I don't harp on that. I think God gives us common sense after we're saved and the Spirit of God to direct us. But I think you should listen to that Holy Spirit and dress appropriately. I think you should talk appropriately. I think you should carry yourself appropriately. And bless God, I think you should teach those children in a right way. And listen, even in the house of God, you need to make sure that you're letting these younger ladies, these younger girls, see an example of a godly woman. You know how you learn to be what you are? Ladies, you watched your mother. You watched your mother, you watched your grandmother. How'd you learn how to dress? You watched your mother. How'd you learn how to act in church? You watched the older women in the church. How'd you learn how to act when you went somewhere because you watched the older people? You're to be an example to those. You're to be a leader in holiness. That means a godly walk that's evident to all of them. It says in speech, you're not to be gossipers. And boy, something about this is so fun. Even men have a worse problem than y'all do probably. You're not to be gossipers. It says not drinking. It says teachers of good things. You're to teach those ladies about you. Those younger ladies, those ladies that are just married. You say, well, I had a friend of mine, his mother used to say, any girls born after 1960 are no good. May be true. I don't know. But you know why they're not? The ladies born before 1960 didn't teach them how to be good. The Bible does say train up a child in the way he should go, and that train don't mean tell them, it means show them. show those younger women the good things. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. You go through that and become a woman that lines up with that. Ladies, you'll be exactly where God would have you to be. In closing this morning, this has been very quick. A very quick sermon on this focus on the family, second part of a godly woman. Women have a huge, almost impossible task. Listen, I have seen godly women in this church. You have a much harder task than I do because you take on many more jobs than I've got. You take on many more jobs than your husbands have. I don't see how you do it. I have seen my wife. Listen, even in childbirth, you're amazing. You know why? Because I saw that happen with Amberly when Amberly was born. And if I had have been Stephanie, guess what? They wouldn't have been no Abby and Ashley. That would have been done. I've heard women who say after you have a child, you forget the pain. Well, it must be true. Because that wouldn't have happened if it had been me. You're amazing. Ladies, you amaze me of what you can do. Stephanie can do 10 things at one time. She gets sick and she keeps going. I get a cold and she tells me I have the man flu. I can't do nothing for myself. Ladies, God put something special inside of you. Something special. To be a helpmeet for a man. If you're feeling inadequate this morning, hold your head up. It's not your fault. Now listen. Listen closely. If you have a husband that's leading you in a godly way, then it is your fault. But if you have a husband that's not leading you according to the Word of God, it is not your fault. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get down on yourself. You pray for that husband. You pray for that husband. It's almost probably impossible to be what Proverbs 31 says. Many of us feel inadequate right now. You feel like you failed. You're still human. Thanks be to God, He offers grace to women as He does to failing fathers. Ladies, if you're here this morning, you felt you've made a mess of your life, I want to introduce you to something called grace. Unmerited favor. God gives you a do-over every day. It's called grace. If you failed, it's probably because a man that God's placed you with has failed also. Can't point fingers. As a family unit, you can't say it's his fault, her fault. All you can do is come to God. Ask Him to fix you. You can't fix your wife, men. Ladies, you can't fix your husband. All you can fix is you. And if you get you fixed, you're doing pretty good. And you're headed in the right direction. Family is really, really simple. Leading a family, having a godly family, is very, very simple. Men, lead your wife towards God. If you do this, she will follow. Your children will follow. You say, wait a minute, I've done this, my children is out there. The Bible says that'll happen. It says, but they'll return. If they've been taught, they've been trained, they'll return. God is faithful to keep His word. I've been thinking about this. God, why did you lay this series on my heart? And you knew we was going to have all these visitors here and people, and you got to be mean to these people in front of all these people. Listen, He did it because He realized He knows something. He's all-knowing. He knows that our family unit is what's failing inside of our churches. It's failing. You look around. I had this great speech about homecomings falling off, and y'all made me a liar. But you look around as on a whole, these things are down. Everything of the church is down right now. The giving of the churches is down. The attendance of the churches is down. It's this, but I challenge you to do something. Listen, I am not against fun. I love having fun. I love to fish, although I don't ever do it. I talk like I'd like it. I like football. I like race cars. I like all this other stuff. You ask a man today, why is your family not in church? You know what he'll tell you? Preacher, I don't have time. I don't have no time. I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. I promise you he has something that he likes to do. He has a bass boat. He has a shotgun, a rifle, maybe a bow and arrow. He has something he enjoys to do. And you know what he does? He makes sure that he does that thing because that's what's important to him. Men, you need to make God important. You mean it got important to yourself, number one, to your family, second. It lies within you, man. The reason your wife may not be what she's supposed to be is because of you. You said, oh, I thought we was getting out of this today. Yeah, there's no way out of it. It comes all back to the men. Listen, you may be hearing the sound of my voice, and I have preached, and something you heard may have said, I don't know what he's talking about. I can't get this thing of Jesus. Maybe you've never met him. Maybe you don't know him. The Bible teaches us that he is going to return. We don't know when it is. Could be today. Could be 1,000 years from now. We don't know. One thing we do know is, according to the Bible, he's not slack concerning his promise. The day is of 1,000 years. He's going to return. Time don't matter to God. He's got eternity. He is coming back. If you're under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, if you have never, what does that mean? If you've never asked him to save you, if you've never, number one, you got to be drawn by the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches that. Impossible to be saved unless the Spirit of God is drawing you. What does that mean? That means you're enlightened to know that you're lost, to know that you need a Savior, and to feel God drawing you towards himself. If you're doing that, you have a choice today to say yes or no. You're making a choice. You're either accepting Jesus or you're rejecting Jesus. One of the two, there's no middle ground. You cannot be a godly father, you cannot be a godly mother if you don't know God, because you cannot love, for God is love. If you don't have him, you can't know love. If you would, please stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation. You need to come for any reason. You need to come. Maybe, men, you know you haven't been leading the way God's called you to lead. I challenge you. You get down here in this old-fashioned altar and you cry out to God and ask for help. Ladies, if that man's been trying to lead you and you just simply say a no, come down here and fix it. Or if you're too prideful to come down here, fix it where you're sitting. You cry out to God and ask him. There's too much at stake to ignore this sermon. Too much at stake to ignore this series. We've got a great responsibility to a whole nation that's going away from God. It's time to turn around. Brother Corey.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. of you. I can only imagine.
Amen. If you would, please be seated. Our ushers come forth. We'll take up our regular Sunday morning's tithes and offerings. If you go into most churches, you think, man, I got out of there. They get you last here. Make you sit through all that preaching, then they get you money.
Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to give back to you a portion of what you have given us. Lift up your holy name and thank you for the